Welcome to City on a Hill. We are so grateful that you've tuned in. And as always, we ask that you invite your friends and family to come join us, come learn with us, tell them about City on a Hill radio show, our website, cityonahill.tv. It's full, really, of great resources, great podcasts from guests such as today, which is the Patriot Pastor Lear. Hi, Pastor Lear.
Well, we will have no other king but King Jesus. And we're reminded in Scripture in Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And also in the book of Revelation 17:14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Lear, as always, you know, we'd love to start the show with a prayer, and I'm going to go ahead and ask you, if you don't mind, to start us off, sir, in prayer.
Be glad to. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the opportunity that you give us. It's not a terrible burden. It's not some kind of a bad thing to have the opportunity to pray. What a wonderful opportunity that we can come boldly before your throne of grace in our time of need. And we do know as people we are in need as individuals, but also our country is in tremendous need. Lord, please give us more time. Lord, please come forth into all the things that we are doing. We know there are some that have voted you out and some have said they don't want you. But on this program and with us and many across this country who love you and serve you, we say, Lord, please continue to stay your hand of judgment upon America and give us opportunity that more will come to know you, Jesus, as Savior, but also that your glory will be spread from sea to shining sea. We thank you for the glorious history that we have, even with the problems that this country has faced. We thank you that we have a glorious history. Whenever that we have proclaimed you openly, you have been there and you have protected us. You've watched over us. You have blessed us in so many ways, and we just want to know that others would do the same. But if they won't, then we will stand in the gap and we will say, thank you, Lord. We praise your holy name. You're worthy of all glory. You're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of it all. It all belongs to you, and we're thankful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, Pastor Lear, we are joined.
I thought I heard an echo there for a minute. It must be Miss Barbara.
It is. And I tell you what, that's not only good praying, that's good preaching. I'm already excited.
and you're also joined by
a blessing.
Oh, yes. And that's where you're also joined by another pastor, Pastor Wayne Wood. Hi there.
How you doing, Diana? Hi, Barb. How you doing, Pastor Lear?
Well, I'm doing well. Thank you, Pastor Wayne. Good to have you on. So we got a four-way here.
Yeah, we do.
We've got the east covered, we've got the west covered, we've got the north and the south. We've got all points covered. That's good.
Praise the Lord.
That's right.
And we love what you do, Pastor Lear. You know, you say, I shall have no other king but King Jesus, and that's what it's all about. And really, that's what the founder said. And we have gone so far that now the children of today are being raised without really the knowledge of God. But we've got to get back to that because, and I titled today, The State of Our Posterity, because as Pastor Wayne and Ms. Barbara knows, we are dealing with some economic crises. You know, I think that the Obama administration is like everybody's having a crisis, and I know a lot of it really was, I think, supercharged because of his policies, but it's almost like our leaders have lost their sense of reasoning, Pastor Lear, and, you know, that's what you're good at, is just reminding us of the original intent. You're there, throughout New England and really throughout the country because you speak about our foundation. We need to wake up and remember where the founders, you know, started. And really, they came to America because of their posterity.
Well, that's true. And, of course, when we go all the way back to the Mayflower, remember that when they got here, they were broke. They were poor. They had great faith in the Lord, and they knew that the Lord had sent them out, and some things didn't make sense to them. For example, as you read in the Mayflower Compact, that they believed that God blew them off course from where they were heading to another place where they started their new constitution of government, the Mayflower Compact. But it took them a couple of years before they were even able to understand from an economic standpoint why they were poor and why they were having such problems. And, of course, they had to take that to the Lord. And as they prayed and they fasted and they sought the Lord and searched the scriptures, the Lord showed them divinely, we'll say the leading of the Holy Spirit, that they were off in their understanding. It wasn't that they were off on their undertaking. And remember, they had to pay to come over on the Mayflower. They had bills to pay. It was a deal that had been struck, and they had bills to pay. But you see, they were not looking at the right way of a Republican form of constitutional-type government biblically. And see, and please, for any of our listeners out there, I'm not touting the Republican Party or denigrating any party or promoting any party. I'm talking about republicanism, which is a republic, which is how we were founded. Well, when they started to move in biblical republican form of government, then they started to be able to pay their bills. And instead of being broke after a couple of years there, in 4 years, they had a surplus. Well, the same principle was not only then.
I'm sorry. The big thing they did, they broke up the community garden into individual plots and allowed people to keep whatever surplus they had. And, you know, they tried socialism and communism. It didn't work.
That's it. And so it's the same situation today. Part of the reason we're facing some of the economic shortfalls in this country is because basically the government is involved in trying to spread the wealth, which is really legalized plunder. And instead of saying, and it's interesting, in so many of the campaigns, you know, and I listen, I don't listen that much, but I listen enough to hear what everyone's saying. So many people are so afraid to bring up the moral issues, to bring up the issues about abortion, to bring up the issues about traditional family or homosexuality and all this other stuff, because they figure, well, everybody will come together and agree on finances. Well, let me tell you, if the Lord thought that we would be delivered by bankers, Jesus wouldn't have had to come and die on the cross. The bankers aren't going to deliver this country from the problem we're in. And incidentally, at the time of the War for American Independence, at the signing of the Treaty of Paris, we were flat broke. We were way in debt. We had lots of people who were after us for money. But see, people realized at the time, like General Washington, who became our first president and others, you know what, this is not really an economic problem. This is a God problem. This is a moral problem. We need to seek the face of the Lord. Where have we missed it? Today, many people are always complaining about the economic situation, but it's not really that. What about the other situations that they're living that they could have some control over? You know, I just had this discussion with a group of pastors early this morning as we had a prayer meeting. There are a lot of people showing up, and they're complaining, and they're whining, and so forth, and they want food, and they want clothes, and they want pay my rent, pay my mortgage, pay my, you know, gasoline for my car, and so forth and so on. But they don't want to serve the Lord. They don't want to give back to the Lord's work. They just want to take. And see, our economic problems will not go away until we put the Lord where he belongs, where he will only fit. And that's on the top of things, first and foremost.
This is City on a Hill. You can also hear us live streaming Monday through Friday from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Central at www.cityonahill.tv. Please share our podcast, look over your guests, and be amazed like us at their incredible wisdom and information. Again, that's www.cityonahill.tv so you can help us share the truth that America needs to hear.
Oh, amen. And I think while you were talking about that, Pastor Lear, I was thinking about the good seeds of righteousness. You know, we reap what we sow, and here in Alabama, and I think probably in just about every state, Pastor Lear, you know, it's like the title, you know, the state of our posterity. We are really being told to choose between the future of our children and our own future today. But the funny thing is, it's fraught with life. The presentation is full of life.
Well, you know, I think about our 40th president that made this statement, and I know a lot of people maybe don't like Ronald Reagan and didn't like some of the things he did and whatever else, and I know the movie about him was, as far as I'm concerned, with James Brolin, was an insult, was ridiculous, and so forth and so on. Certainly did not portray Ronald Reagan in the way, but he said this. He said, the principles of wealth creation transcend time, people, and place. Governments which deliberately subvert them by denouncing God, smothering faith, destroying freedom, and confiscating wealth have impoverished their people. Well, let me tell you, when he said that in 1984, okay, which is very close to the dating on that Orwellian book, isn't that a prophetic statement? That's what we're facing today. That's what the problem is. I mean, we all know the scripture says that God has no economic problems. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the banks on 1,000 corners. So it's not a problem at God's throne of grace. It's that we have not rightfully discerned these things. And one of the biggest things that's so important for us to be teaching our children right away, and I think, you know, who is the schoolmaster of America? And that was Noah Webster, who also was a great patriot during the war for American independence. He said, our citizens should early understand that the genuine source of correct Republican principles is the Bible, particularly in the New Testament or the Christian religion. Okay, so where do we find the answers to everything we need to know about life and godliness? In Scripture. Scripture tells us that we should not be in debt. We were not supposed to be. We were not created to be a debtor nation. We were created to be able to give, not to always be taking. And so the issue right now of saying, and I'm reminded when I was a boy, the Popeye cartoons that I used to like to watch, and I like spinach then and I like spinach now, good stuff. And Wimpy was one of the characters, and he'd say, I'm glad you gladly pay you on Wednesday for a hamburger today. See, and so children heard that saying, okay, I don't have the money for a hamburger today, but maybe I can go in debt to have a hamburger and pay next Wednesday. But see, that was bad teaching right then. No, if you don't have the money for the hamburger today, don't go in debt to buy the hamburger and promise to pay another time. You know, find another way. And so many times, and I've given this exhortation to many political leaders who are Monday morning quarterbacks, you know, we're in debt and we should balance the budget and whatever. Okay, folks, you're right. But how many of you out there, listeners, have balanced your budget? How many of you have said, you know what, I'll get another year out of that car? How many of you have said, you know what, instead of getting a new pair of shoes, I'll have heels and soles. I'll take them down the cobbler and have the cobbler put another heel and sole on it, or I'll give it a good shine, or I'll make it do so I can stay out of debt, so I can stay free, you know, those kind of things, and teach our children that. You know, and a lot of times we're not teaching them that. They whine for something, we buy them whatever. I want an ice cream. I want an ice cream. Go into Walmart. Stand there and listen to how children, after watching all the television and all the ads, force their parents, by the children's bad behavior, to buy them things the parents don't want to buy because they really can't afford it. And let me tell you, when they pull out plastic, and I'm not talking about a debit card here, when they pull out a credit card to pay for a child's toy or something like that, that's wrong. And it's not supporting the economy, really. And remember that it's nice to support the economy, but the first economy we need to support is in our own house. And, of course, how many believe in giving anymore? It's hard to find even Christians who believe in giving to the Lord's work. First and foremost, when the Lord said, hey, try me and see if I won't pour out a blessing. So that has to be for the nation, it has to be for the state, it has to be for the county, it has to be for the town, it has to be for the church, it has to be for the house. If we will follow those principles, we'll see all this stuff straighten out. We really will. But if we continue on, you know, with bad behavior, it's always a crisis. It's always, you know, something, well, I had to do it. Why'd you have to do it? Well, it was a crisis. What do you mean it was a crisis? Meaning you couldn't call up your friend and say, I'll catch a ride with you. You couldn't put off something like that for a while. And the Lord blesses that when we look to him and trust him. So,
but here in Alabama, I'm thinking probably in every state of the country, that crisis is to the point where people cannot see past their noses. But it's hard to see the truth. Our legislature, Pastor Lear, had supposedly come to the end of their ropes at the end of the session, and they are asking us to vote yes on a constitutional amendment to get rid of a trust fund because they need the money. But now the cat is out of the bag because we have understood the truth, which is this so-called solution was put before on the first day of the session. So it wasn't something that, you know, they wrung their hands and, you know, said, oh, there's no other way. It was their solution at the get-go. And it's being sold as the only solution. So we have people that do not know that basic fact, and there is now a division among Christians, conservatives, well, you name it. There is such a division because, again, the tool of the enemy hasn't changed, has it? And it's to lie and proclaim it big.
Well, what part of trust fund do people not understand? The thing is, if it's a trust fund, it's a fund that has been put in trust to be held for a certain thing. You know, and if that thing is not being met, then that's thievery. And see, remember, the government's part of the big problem is that money will come in, they'll spend that so fast and be back in debt, and the trust fund is gone, and they're not going to be able to replenish the trust fund. The whole issue is spending has to stop and has to be looked at. The first thing that I, as a pastor, in talking to anybody about their financial condition, first thing I ask them, are you giving first and foremost from your first fruits to the Lord and the Lord's work in some manner or another? I ask that question. Then I say, okay, do you have a budget? You know, let me see what you spend your money on. Give me your checkbook. Let me look and see what you're spending your money on. And so the thing is, we know that legislatures are always hungry for money because they got so many people beating on the door saying, we want this and we want that, and you can't let us go hungry. You can't do this. No. What they need to stop and say, okay, we're going to pray and we're going to trust the Lord in this, and we're not going to violate a trust. The trust is there for what the trust was set up for, not to be raided by the legislature saying, well, I know when it was set up. You know, it's just the same as people's probate. If the person that dies leaves in their will and is probated and so forth, this is what my estate is supposed to go to, then that is supposed to be honored by the court and everyone else involved. Otherwise, it is a lack of fiduciary responsibility. We see it all the time. And so I hope and pray that Alabama, and they're all doing it, every state's doing it, they're raiding this, raiding that, you know, it's stealing, and it's fraud, and it's not the answer to the problem, because that money taken that way will not last very long to do very much. What they have to say is, folks, we got some bad news for you. We're not going to buy your vote. We're not going to give you what doesn't belong to us to give you. And, of course, isn't it interesting that so often that these legislators, and this happens on a national level as well, they're not tied into any of this. It's not coming out of their pocket. It's not coming out of, why don't some of them give their trust funds up? There are probably people in that legislature in Alabama that have trust funds set up by their father. Why don't they let the state have that trust fund? If somebody in the state tried to take away the trust fund of some of those legislators, they'd put up a big fight. I've seen this happen over and over and over again on the national and on the state level, on the county level. I happen to live in a town, and I had a discussion the other day with one of our selectmen and the police chief, where we don't touch anything that's in trust. If it's been put in trust for a bridge, it goes for a bridge. If we have something put in trust to maintain the ball field, that's what it goes to, and that's all. Now, some people don't like it. We have not violated those kind of things because that's cheating, because that's lying, because that's stealing, that's breaking an oath. And too often, that's what we're doing. So I would, and Christians, and just because people are Christians doesn't mean they do the right thing. And I hear an amen on that. Unfortunate,
amen.
But true. Many of them don't understand the fact. Wait a minute. Are you encouraged? I had to go up, and I was one of the few clergy in the state of New Hampshire that went up and testified against the state giving churches more money to help the poor. I said, the state's not supposed to be giving churches any money to help the poor. The church is supposed to, through tithes and offerings and mission giving and so forth and so on, you know, maybe the church, some of the churches need to take their stained glass windows and auction them off, or some of the fancy mahogany pews, auction them off and give to the poor and the needy. But to go to the state, here's the clergy going to the state, don't balance the budget. I was one of the few clergy that said it's wrong and fraud not to balance the budget. And everybody looked at me like I was the Antichrist. Many Christians looked at that. And I said, where is your biblical and constitutional authority for what you're saying to do? They were telling the legislature, don't balance the budget, because we want more money to be for soft social programs. You know?
Well, Pastor Lee, I love what you said about grace abounds in times like this, Pastor Wayne, and we need heroes. We need our legislature to come to the front term that what they have done is wrong. And, you know, I think we're forgiving, but we do need them to stand up and do what's right. And just remember, just because they're Republicans, you know, they don't have the right. Just because we changed hands, we're thinking it was going to be a very conservative, you know, government. But they got carried away, and they gave up on their principles. And so it's back to remembering where you come from.
I think the whole concept's flawed. I think the whole concept's flawed. You got a government-run trust fund. There's an oxymoron right there, government and trust, where money's concerned. I mean, the whole concept's flawed.
Well, you know, I cited the 20th verse of Romans chapter 5, but let me back up and cite the 19th, because it fits. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Well, that I know is talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
It's talking about the first Adam who did wrong in the sight of the Lord, and the second Adam that did right with Jesus, and that's a whole theological thing. But it also applies in another, we'll say, shallow way. If people will simply stand up and say, you know what, and of course, as Ms. Barbara mentioned, David Crockett, and I assume that she was mentioning Davy Crockett, Colonel Crockett, two terms in the Tennessee legislature, when he said, hey, I'm going to reach in my pocket, and I'm going to give some money out of my pocket to help this naval widow, but it's not right to force other people to pay for this,
right?
You know. And so that's where we're at right now, saying, okay, you know what, call me whatever you want, but I'm not voting for that. You're not going to force me into voting for that. I'm going to stand for what is right. You know, I might get kicked out of the party, and this whole issue of, well, conservative or whatever else. Conservative has come to the point in many respects of saying, well, you know, the liberals, they're going to fleece you for $1,000. We only fleece you for $500. You just made $500.
Yeah.
You know? Well, that's not the way that it is. And would there be some hurt in it? You know, and please, any of our listeners, if you think that I get pleasure in seeing people hurt, I don't. Not at all. I've cried lots of tears, and the Lord knows how many. He's got them collected in a bottle somewhere. But the point is, at some point in time, you have to say, stop. Stop what you're doing. You're digging. You continue to dig in a deeper hole. Stop digging, and let's build a ramp to get out of here. That's what we have to do. Stop digging. Stop the spending.
Amen.
And we'll see the Lord turn around. The Lord's got the wisdom. He can share his wisdom of how to turn all these things around. And if we haven't received that wisdom, it's because we're trying to do something that he's not in. He's not in raiding the trust fund.
Well, you know,
I've spoken to the legislature, and I've come to Alabama, and I'll stand and tell them too. And when I'm through with them in the legislature, and I'm not being prideful in telling you this, I just know that what the word of the Lord is and so forth, the ones that go and vote for it will not be able to do it and look me in the eye. And I've had that happen here in New Hampshire with the reversal of same-sex marriage. The people I knew who was voting in the right way and who wasn't, because the ones who wouldn't vote in the right way, they wouldn't look at me. They wouldn't talk to me. They passed by without looking.
This is City on the Hill. You can also hear us live streaming Monday through Friday from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Central at www.cityonahill.tv. Please share our podcast, look over your guests, and be amazed like us at their incredible wisdom and information. Again, that's www.cityonahill.tv so you can help us share the truth that America needs to hear.
Hello, Azina, who is the president of the American Federation of Republican Women, and she has got some important information for us. You know, we've been really worried, and we've been talking earlier about Common Core, which is, you know, going at the trend, really, of the policies of the future. So it's what they can teach our children. They're not going to have to worry about how they're going to vote because they would have grown up that line of thinking. So it's a very dangerous thing what's going to be taught, you know, down the pipe and it's time to take a stand. But also the money part. This nation is being driven off the cliff by so many different things. Ms. Lois is with us. Hi, Ms. Lois.
Hi. I'm delighted to be with you, and I'm looking forward to talking about this constitutional amendment on the ballot this Tuesday.
Well, thank you. I know you had a busy schedule. You were at the state capitol, and y'all had a rally is what I heard.
Really good rally. And I tell you, I can't wait to tell you some of the things I've learned. And if you feel the way I do, it's going to set your hair on fire.
Well, we feel it. Well, let me tell you a little something, Ms. Lois, because we've been talking to Mr. Finn Larson. He is the head of the Christian Educators Association International, which is really a group, an association that people need to consider instead of the National Educational Association. And, Mr. Finn, before you have to go, I want to make sure we get your website because that's really where part of the fight you go is we need to be on the right side, and the NEA is not the right side. So if you don't mind, sir, give us your website and some information there.
Absolutely. If teachers or parents are looking for any kind of information, we have all kinds of free resources on your legal rights in the public school. In fact, you can even, if you go to the legal section under resources, you can even ask a religious question about the freedoms, and it'll be analyzed by an attorney, and a response will come. But also what funds the whole machinery, if you will, is membership. And if teachers want to join us, they can go to our website at ceai.org. That's ceai.org. We have members that are parents. We have aides, we have teachers, we have bus drivers. Basically, if they get professional liability as well as legal representation if they have issues, but everything is biblical worldview. Or they can call us toll free at 888-798-1124. That's 888-798-1124. We're here to serve the Christian community in our public schools.
Well, Mr. Finn, if you can stay on for a little bit and hear Ms. Lois, maybe this is something that you can email, because I'm sure you do have some people in Alabama who's a member of your association. And Don, I know you've got some contact with Alabama, because really, people seem to realize we're not against them. I know we're being told that some teachers are afraid we're going to raid their, trust fund, and therefore they're going to lose jobs or be laid off. So, here goes, Ms. Lois, if you don't mind enlightening us.
Oh, I tell you, that vote on Tuesday is going to mean so much. And I'd like to talk about what's at stake. Voters need to know how they vote will impact things that will shock them. But first I want to say that, you know, we've been hearing that Tuesday's vote is about bailing out the budget. Well, it's really about bailing out legislators. Legislators have a constitutional duty to balance the budget. They didn't So they're in violation of their one basic constitutional duty. In fact, legislators haven't balanced the budget without gimmicks for 4 or 5 straight years. And they won't balance the budget in future years unless they fix the structural imbalance in how state tax revenues are allocated. And I'll go into that. But first, let me, since people are kind of familiar, at least your audience, with the amendment, let me tell you the new things that I have learned today. First of all, this amendment is far more important than it appears. I mean, the legislators would have us under seal that we must bail them out so they can balance budget. But there's much more to this amendment than just balancing the budget with a bailout. This amendment is a Trojan horse to make significant changes that will bust the trust. And that's why we have adopted the slogan for our education project, Bust the Trust. Let me tell you the two ways that this amendment will bust the trust, because I believe every conservative voter that understands this will flock to the polls to vote no. First of all, this amendment lops off 20% of the trust fund principal. This, of course, eliminates funds that earn interest and dividends to balance future budgets. You know, right now we're getting somewhere between $100 and $200 million every year to supplement our general fund budget. So by lopping off 20% of the principal, that's definitely going to reduce that amount. But the second way it busts the trust is that it also siphons off half the gas and oil reserves that flow into the trust fund. This could bankrupt the fund in a decade or so. Isn't that unbelievable? I mean, this is a Trojan horse. If the guy says, hey, you know, we're short. In fact, I have the exact amount. They say they're short. My finger on it here. Yes, they say that they are short $145.8 million in their $1.67 billion. This is very serious, and I may come back to this. I want to ask, this amendment is a Trojan horse to make significant changes that will bust the trust. Now, something very important happened at the press conference today, and it's being asked by reporters and healthcare workers and seniors around the state. What will happen to Medicaid if this amendment doesn't pass? Well, state officials are telling us that all sorts of dire consequences will happen. Well, let me tell you some reasons why this is not going to happen and that I feel we are being misled. First of all, there are proposals that are solutions to solve this problem. And we may or may not get into that later, but let me tell you the new breaking news that I've gathered. And the reasons that I believe this budget, the reasons that I believe that all these dire consequences where prisoners are going to be released on the streets and our grandmoms are going to be thrown out of nursing homes onto the street and workers are going to be laid off across the state, why I don't believe this is going to happen. First, the legislature knew long before the 2012 legislation, the legislative session started, that they had to deal with and solve the budget crisis. You remember that, right? It was in the papers often. So think about this. If the legislators felt that all the dire consequences they're now warning us will happen if voters don't pass this amendment, would legislative leaders waited until the last day and the last hour to address the budget? Doesn't that give you pause? Second, while the legislature is asking voters to raid the principal of the trust fund, they are asking for a hefty pay raise. Remember that 67% pay raise? It's on the ballot in November. Third, would the state, well, first of all, the administrative clerk is also raising their salaries. In fact, I just pulled off a newspaper article, and it has big raises despite cutbacks. And it talks about how the court system has struggled with budget cuts. Well, then why are they now giving hefty pay raises to some of their employees? A third reason why I don't believe these dire consequences are going to happen. The state is spending $3 million on this special election. I asked about that, and I was told, as the general public was told, that we had to hold a special election in September, just before the November general election, because the next budget cycle started October 1st. Well, I just pulled off, since I've been home, an article on AL.com, and by the way, I just emailed it to you, and this is unbelievable. The vote originally to ask for an amendment to bail out the budget was going to be placed on the November ballot. They didn't. They changed the date when they realized that it might not pass. So the state is spending $3 million because they expect a low voter turnout on a special election 2 months before the general election.
Wait a minute. It was originally scheduled to be on the November 6th ballot?
Yes. Yes. The article this morning, this is by David White of the Birmingham News. Actually, it's dated yesterday, September 12th. I mean, I have been incensed. Talk about setting your hair on fire. When I read this just before I dialed in, I thought, this is a scam. This is unbelievable. These legislators tell us to trust them, that they need 3 months or 3 years to get our costs under control. And how can we trust them when they tell us we have to have a special election and spend $3 million for it, and we learned that originally it was going to be on the November ballot until they feared it would fail. I tell you, so I've just given you some things that I listed after coming home from this press conference thinking, you know, all these scare tactics, and it's really unfortunate. Our seniors, the children's hospitals, the state workers, they really believe these scare tactics. But if these scare tactics had any modicum of possibility of coming true, would all the things that I just listed have happened? So anyway, I want to set off my chest because I am really bothered by this when they continually tell us, you must trust us.
And I had an article that I read that from Iran in Andalusia Star News that, you know, it dated back in February 7th, this bill was. It was introduced on the very first day of the start of the session, yet they make it out as if they had the hardest time, you know, looking at all the different solutions, and this was the best they could do. But they had it at the very beginning.
You know, once again, those of us who read the newspapers and don't just listen to what we're told, we know that once the governor came out, and again, I have applauded him over and over for trying to address and attack the structural imbalance of the state general fund in terms of the distribution of tax revenues. And let me go on a tangent a little bit and explain that, because if this structural imbalance is not solved, then we will never have a balanced general fund budget, because most of the growth taxes go into education, And most of the static taxes go into the general fund. So when the governor comes out and says we've got to combine these two funds like every other state in the nation except one does, the legislative leaders balked. But AEA, that we thought had been diminished in its influence, AEA doesn't want this. So they went to the legislative leaders. They lobbied them. And guess what? The legislative leaders refused to work with the governor to correct this structural imbalance of the funds. And we have a constitutional amendment instead. So, you know, that probably happened at the beginning. When did you say that was dated? In February?
February the 7th, the first day of the session.
That probably happened, you know, before the special session started, because we didn't hear any more from our governor. And then this budget was supposed to be in such crisis, yet they never found time to address it and solve the problem until the very last day. And at midnight, when the hour would have struck the session, the legal session legally over, 15 minutes, I'm told, before midnight, they said they passed this constitutional amendment. So it does seem to tie in together.
This is City on a Hill. You can also hear us live streaming Monday through Friday from 1:30 to 2:30 p.m. Central at www.cityonahill.tv. Please share our podcast, look over your guests, and be amazed like us at their incredible wisdom and information. Again, that's www.cityonahill.tv, so you can help us share the truth that America needs to hear.
So I think we've got to send a signal. Can we do something? Because it just really sounds like backroom dealing, too much of it.
I'm afraid it harms our faith in truth and transparency, and it pains me to say that. But, you know, bottom line, conservative voters who want to send a message to our good legislators. I'm going to go off on a tangent and come back here about the bottom line. John Rice, who is a former state senator and who is helping get the word out and working himself, it's amazing that he's still standing and still sleeping, but he said at the press conference today that as he's talking with legislators, they are very disappointed that their leaders did not give them information. They gave them the scare tactics. They didn't give them the information that we have been researching and learning. And he says many of the legislators he's talking to, and I know I'm hearing some myself, are voting no on this amendment. And a few of them, like Senator Paul Busman, are even having press conferences saying, vote no on this amendment. Let us get back in session and do our job. You know, new information has come to light. So, you know, back to the bottom line, if conservative voters really want to send a message to our legislators, they should vote no, because a no vote will force the legislature to finally fix the budget problems and do their job as they are required to do under the Constitution. On the other hand, a yes vote will kill that goose that lays the golden eggs, because that's what the ATF is, and it will bust the trust for future generations. Because I want to emphasize that this amendment redefines income and has a new formula to distribute revenues from the gas and oil proceeds. So we are going to take 20% of that trust fund principal, and then we're going to siphon off half the gas and oil revenues that flow into the trust fund. So this fund, which was set up to be held in perpetuity for future generations, will most likely be bankrupt, according to people who are smarter than I am in finances, in a decade or so. I mean, we hide in the sand.
I'm sorry, Ms. Lois. Ms. Barbara had mentioned, you know, ways that we really could come up with the money that would go back to work. And I know I saw Quinn Hillier with his presentation of, you know, the option for early retirement for a lot of state employees. That would solve the problem pretty quick. And I know, Ms. Barbara, you were talking about another one about, you know, maybe 60-something million could be saved with assisted living.
Absolutely. In fact, there is no shortage of solutions. There's only a shortage of commitment to do this. The early retirement option will save between $68 and $95 million a year. The assisted living, a federal waiver for Medicaid that you just mentioned, will save $48 million a year. And the list goes on. So there
are
solutions.
Yeah, somebody even mentioned it's not a tobacco tax, too, Ms. Lois.
Yes, and,
so.
And one of senators who also has publicly opposed this amendment says that he has even recommended consolidating some agencies. There are so many things that can be done that they just need to do their work, and they should have never put this on the ballot when they were legally required to balance the budget, and they didn't do it. So I just hope that voters will surprise these legislative leaders who didn't fully inform their legislators. They certainly haven't informed the news media. They certainly haven't informed voters about the true state of the budget. In fact, you know, if this fails, it's not like it's suddenly you're going to have to cut the budget 50% or 75% as we're hearing. It will be cut 10.9%. It will be short of that, of making their budgeted expenses. So, you know, there are solutions. And, you know, we give it to them. We are in tough times. We don't deny that. And it's never easy to cut spending, waste, you know, inefficiencies, but you can do it. Our nations, all throughout this nation, states are having to do it. And they don't have any smarter legislators or more ethical legislators than we do. So our legislators can do it. We're just going to have to put our foot down and say, stop playing footsies with AEA and do your job and respond to your constituents, not to a lobbyist, a special interest here that we thought a Republican supermajority was going to diminish the influence of.
You know, if our governor and our Republican legislators watched the Republican National Convention, they would have seen several instances of various states highlighted, like Ohio with Governor John Kasich, that started in the red and are now in the black, and have dealt with their budget crisis effectively and successfully. And there are other states as well who've done so, you know. So I don't know whether they didn't keep up with that, didn't know about that, but certainly we can not only create our own solutions, but we could also find out some of the things that were done in other places that helped bring them out of their budget crisis.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And you know, one other thing that I learned this morning from the press conference, again, truth and transparency are so important. You know, as I mentioned a minute ago, our budget is short of $145 million for the budget that they want to have of $1.67 billion. John Rice pointed out this morning that when they made that draft budget, they did not even include the trust fund capital revenues of between $100 million and $200 million every year. That's not even included in this.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, I told you, I felt like my my hair had been set on fire. I just hope we can somehow get this kind of information out to our conservative voters and let them know that the sky is not falling.
Hello. Thank you, Miss Lois. Thank you, Miss Lois. Go ahead, Miss Barbara.
I was wondering, are you familiar with the Governor's Commission on Government Efficiency, a report that contains 15 solutions for budget crisis that has not been released?
Barbara, I'm so glad you brought that up. There was a person at the press conference this morning that announced that since that has been finalized and as of this past January, but has not been released, and which does include, as you just mentioned, many ways to cut waste and spending, she is filing a Freedom of Information Act to get that report. I hope she gets it before next Tuesday, which probably isn't likely, but it's a shame. But, yes, there's some more solutions that are contained in that, obviously, that the public has not been advised of yet.
Well, you know, it might be helpful, too, to call the governor's office and ask that he release that report that was finalized in January, since it is now September?
Yes, we don't understand why it hasn't been released. And it's my understanding that she is in contact with the governor's office. But as you pointed out, there are there are hundreds of millions of dollars that we have identified just in this short time that we're aware of. And experts are surely aware of many more. And I want to thank so much our own Alabama think tank, the Alabama Policy Institute, that has been so helpful in coming up with some of these ways that the state can cut costs, cut waste, and find and efficiencies. For instance, they even found that the state has 500 properties that they didn't know it had and that are not in use.
Oh, my.
Did I want to just stress this, because did I understand you to say that the money that we get from the Alabama Trust Fund, which is almost $100 million, wasn't even included?
Former State Senator John Weiss said this morning, and he has really studied this issue. So there seems to be a little gamesmanship going on here.
Oh, what a shame. What a shame. Well, I think it's time for us to do a lot of praying, and I pray really that a lot of the teachers will, you know, choose to see the truth. I think when they're, you know, saying the sky's falling, if it was really falling, it'd be something different. But when it's all a bunch of hoaxes and lies, how can we stand by and ignore the truth, Ms. Lois? We cannot.
Yes, absolutely. And again, if the sky were falling, the legislature would not have stood by during that legislative session and waited to the very last day and the very last hour to even address this budget. And they wouldn't be paying $3 million for a special election when they could have put this on the November 6th ballot and the list. And they wouldn't be asking for that hefty pay raise in November.
Oh, by the way, add into this, Ms. Lois, they would have okayed $100 million for iPads for our 9th through 12th graders.
So you see, it just raises questions, doesn't it? But hopefully this will help allay fears of the people who really have been convinced by all this hype and scare tactics, and hopefully they will become a little embittered and think, Wait a minute. I expect truth and transparency from my elected officials, and I am going to hold them accountable, and I'm going to vote no on Tuesday, so they will be forced to do their job.
We need to come out in mass. So, listeners, let's do that, and let's be prayerful about that and share it with others. So share the podcast, www.cityonahill.tv. Thank you, Mr. Finn Lawson, for being on. Do you have some closing thoughts?
Just that, you know, we are ambassadors of Christ wherever God has planted us. And we were created to work. When God created Adam and Eve, he said, hey, tend the garden. So we need to all tend the garden wherever God has planted us, and we can bring transformation to our culture through God's love and truth. Let's tend the garden.
Yes. Mr. Finn, would you be so kind to close us in prayer? We'd appreciate it, sir.
Absolutely. Father, we just give you thanks. We give you thanks for networking, using technology that is part of your creation to network us across this nation, that we can share your truth with each other and others through this kind of technology. We give you thanks for that, Father. We would ask that through the coming days, weeks, and months, that you would give us insight through your Holy Spirit on how we're to impact our culture. And those of us involved in education and schools, Father, we ask that you would pour more and more and more of you that we can transfer and pass on to that younger generation, Father. We give you thanks that you have created a nation built on the foundation of your truth, Father, and that you would give us energy and insight on how to return to those basic truths as a nation, Father, that you might give us the forgiveness and grace that we would need to rise again in your name across this nation, Father. We give you thanks for who you are, and in spite of who we are, we can be in relationship with you through the blood and the forgiveness of through your Son, Father. We just give you thanks for that, Father. And we would ask that when we look you in the eyes, you would be able to say to each one of us listening today and joining in this prayer, well done, my good and faithful servant, Father. We just give you thanks for who you are. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Lawson. You're the head of the Associated Christian Educators Association International. We ask that those who signed up with the AEA need to look otherwise. You know, we need values back in our culture. And also, Ms. Aloha Zina, the president of the American Federation of Republican Women, thank you, Ms. Aloha, for the hard work. Oh, thank you for all that great information. And I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Barbara Moore, who always reminds us about the foundation. You know, we've got so far away from it. And, you know, they were humble enough that they bowed their heads and prayed to Almighty God for wisdom. And we do need that wisdom, right, Ms. Barbara?
Oh, we do indeed. And, you know, we received some of that wisdom right here today on this radio show. Please share it with your family and friends wherever they are in this country, throughout the world, so that they can become informed, inspired, and involved. May the Lord bless you all. May he make his face to shine upon you. And may God bless America, and may God bless our troops. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the radio program of City on a Hill, promoting the Christian biblical worldview. May God bless you richly as you serve the Lord.
Amen.